Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And we are recording in the basement today. I'm just kidding. There is no basement in the library. But
or is there?
But Carrie actually brought this graphic novel called Infidel that she basically thrust on me one morning when I was walking into work, and she was like, you have to read this. And I'm very glad that she did. It's a horror novel or graphic novel, which is completely my jam. But before we get into that, how about you tell us how you found out about it in the first place?
Okay, well, I was just browsing through graphic novels because, of course, I ordered the adult graphic novels for the library, and I came upon Infidel, and I saw that it was recommended on NPR's 100 Favorite Horror Stories of All Time, which is crazy because it came out last year.
Yeah.
And the reviews I read compared it to Get Out, which I loved Get Out so much. I bought the DVD, and I never buy DVDs, so I could see the director's commentary. So I was like, oh, well, this is right up my alley, so I'm 100% going to read this.
And who is the author?
The author's name is Pornsik Pishishode. That's not how you pronounce it, I'm sure, but in any case, complicated name, complicated writer.
And very complicated story for something that's so short and that you could easily consume. Like, it took me maybe an hour and a half tops.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not a series?
No, it's not a series. It's very dense, though. It is. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot going on in each
like
panel.
An onion. It's got layers.
Yes, so. Many layers, and it might make you cry. Oh.
So, do you typically read horror?
I read a lot of different things. I don't think I really have like a particular genre, and I do love a good horror story, especially when it delves into so many social themes that uses the horror aspect as a jumping off point to discuss.
So if it didn't attract you as
things.
A horror novel specifically, was there anything about really pulled you in?
I like horror, but I don't just like any horror.
Yeah, no.
I want it to be like a metaphor for sexism or racism, or I want it to be talking about like our complicated relationship with our own.
Yeah, you don't just want someone like torn apart on a graphic novel for no reason. Makes sense.
And so part of what I enjoy so much about horror as a genre is kind of like what you're saying. If it's done well, the monsters are actually just metaphors or vehicles to help us talk about complicated things, such as, in this case, racism and Islamophobia and xenophobia. What did you think about that as you were reading the book?
Well, first, I would like to say, man is the real monster.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So what did I think about the...
Some of the themes that it was delving into.
Well, so we should probably give a summary of what this book is about, right?
A little bit.
So this book follows Aisha, the main character. She's a Muslim American woman, and her friend Medina,
whose name kicks ass, by the way.
Yes, great character, who is a very strong, like, competent black woman who is also Muslim and named after like the holy city Medina.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also kind of like wandered away from her faith, even though she still identifies as Muslim. So it's an update of a haunted house story. It takes place in an apartment building where there has been some kind of unspecified terrible accident in the past that you find out what it is later. And so Aisha lives with her white former military husband and mother-in-law and her stepdaughter. So let's see. What else? Uh-oh. Edit this out.
Well, I mean, I can jump in as well.
Yes,
so
please.
Once they move into the apartment, Aisha starts having all of these hallucinations, which what I loved about this was the horror kind of built in gradually. Yes, there were some great jump scares, but you saw her trying to figure out whether or not it was a medication that she was on that was causing this. There's that real doubt about whether or not what you're seeing is actually real, especially when at the beginning she's the only one that can see these things.
Oh, right. That's the other thing. Only the people of color characters in this graphic novel can see the ghost of racism, which...
What a good...
I know.
Yes, it's a very good metaphor. So this scary demon is, like, taking control of all these situations and causing these, freaky visualizations that are very, like, body horror-esque oriented. But, it just... to all the white people in the book, it's like, oh, you're just crazy.
You're just overreacting.
What are you even talking about? There's nothing there.
Yeah, maybe we need to switch you to a different medication.
Yeah, which is like really interesting if you think about the history of the medicalization of people of color who are kind of acting, quote unquote, acting out of turn or something like that. Which is something that just occurred to me just right now as I was
talking. I know, because we were talking about it. So there are these acts of violence that occur thanks to these entities, and a lot of times it ends up being blamed on the person of color who was actually trying, who could actually see what was happening and was trying to help, but unfortunately, you know, there's not only so much you can do against something that is metaphysical like that.
Not just only trying to help, but sometimes just being, like, physically restrained and trying to, like, escape from this force.
So unfortunately, they were getting pegged because, you know, people can see them for these horrible acts that they themselves had nothing to do with.
Right. So I feel like the characters Aisha and Medina kind of embody these two different points of view about kind of the extent to which people have control over their own actions or how their point of view, how you should look at racist actions from people. So in this one scene, Aisha is talking about her mother-in-law who kind of ripped the hijab off of Aisha's stepdaughter and said, "You can't wear that. You know, men, this represents men who stone little girls like you to death." And so Medina says, "Racism's a cancer that doesn't get cured. The best you get is remission," because they're talking about the extent to which the mother-in-law is still a racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Aisha says, talking about her mother and how her mother won't talk to her because she married a white dude, she says, "My mother is all about obsessing over the shadows in a room full of light, and we're not doing that to Leslie," the character.
Right, not me.
Not.
But one thing I really want to touch on, because I found it so powerful as I was reading the graphic novel, is there's this element of faith that's woven throughout the story, but it's even what those people who don't necessarily believe in a god or something like that actually still have some faith in something. And it's about finding what it is that you have faith in that helps you overcome things that seem insurmountable. And that was incredibly powerful. It kind of, I don't know, felt like this homecoming where, especially like Medina, the character is kind of agnostic in the way
she's kind of like moved away from the faith.
But she still kind of receives this homecoming, even in some of the most traumatic moments, as she starts to discover what it is she actually has faith in.
Yeah, at some point she just doesn't know where to turn, and so she turns to something which is like a great comfort to her, even though she spent many years away from it. It was very beautiful.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend this book.
How do you feel about the art? Is there anything
specific
about the style?
The cover by itself is beautiful.
Yes, the cover is very beautiful. It does really interesting things, changing kind of the
styles.
The style from page to page.
Because you see some little kid artwork thrown in there that kind of talks about Medina and Aisha's friendship.
Yeah, she's remembering her childhood with Medina because they go way back, and it's very, I don't know, it almost looks like kind of charcoal.
Yeah.
A little bit, like very smudgy, blocky and simplistically drawn. And then on the other hand, you have these, I guess they would have been covers for the single issues.
Yeah.
And it's like hyper-realistic.
But the colors are all off.
Yeah, the colors are off. I also thought it was very inventive. Oh, God, that's so scary. I also liked how they used the format of the book, the medium itself, to create these jump scares like you would have in a movie. So very early on, I don't want to spoil it, very early on there is a jump scare after a page turn that made me literally scream and drop the book when I was reading it.
Which maybe I'm a horrible person. I'm just so used to horror and scary stuff that I just kind of kept going through it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's nice.
Oh, no. I just wasn't expecting it so soon.
But, I mean, I do have to admit, I didn't even think about the body horror element of it, but you saw some pretty weirdly contorted figures.
Oh, yeah. Unnatural body positions. Some guy who looks like he's soaked in a tub for about 10,000 years and his skin's all melty.
But one other thing I really wanted to bring up before we really start, I guess, wrapping this up. the book, as much as it's about hate, and that's very uncomfortable to read about and talk about, it actually ends on a note where it's really exploring love. And I found that incredibly moving. I don't know.
You know, I guess we couldn't resist talking about this before. And I feel kind of like it did explore love, but in a way, oh, I don't want to spoil it.
I know.
It goes back to what Medina said about just being in remission.
It goes back to those dueling
perspectives.
And it really ends on kind of an ambiguous note that leaves you thinking about a lot, I think. leaves you guessing.
So what kind of reader would you recommend this for?
Oh, I have no idea. Any kind of, if you like the movie Get Out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one.
If you're interested in the complicated ways that society and people interact when it comes to heavy issues,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like racism or xenophobia, or...
I would say if you really don't like body horror, maybe, like... either don't read it or just read it with the lights on.
Yeah, because it's so much more shocking when you're seeing it in art form than it is if you're reading about it described.
It can be a lot more jarring for people, especially if they are more terrified of visual effects.
Oh, and there's some pretty heavy language in here, too. From the...
Once again, that just goes right over my head.
Well, from the scary ghosts.
Yeah, no, I...
From the scary ghosts.
Not like the unscary curses.
Yeah, just a stream of... pretty vile slurs from the racist ghost. So if you don't want to read that, I would not read this. But otherwise.
I feel like this was a really good example of how graphic novels can be used to convey these very complicated issues in a very small serving. Because mm-hmm. you can finish it quickly, which almost feels like you're writing it off because there's so much work that goes into planning out how the panels look and the art for it and then how much you want to convey through the dialogue and stuff that... I feel like if you want to see a graphic novel at its finest with depth, this may be a good one to try.
Oh, this is, it is a very good example of graphic novel as literature, for sure, mm-hmm. for sure. And if you're really interested in finding out what that looks like, maybe you're not very familiar with graphic novels, I would definitely give this a look and check it out.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, Carrie, and kind of Leslie, because you were partially interviewee.
Yes. And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.